Lovely. Thanks for meeting us, Stu. We are with Stu Walker, the Managing Director of UHBW. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. We are here to talk about knowledge and evidence sharing and its impact on the delivery of quality care. We just wanted to ask you a few questions about the role knowledge and evidence play in your day-to-day. So first, Stu, please could you tell us a bit about your role?
So my previous role was I was the Chief Medical Officer of UHBW, which means the most senior doctor within the executive team of UHBW. Since January until September was the interim Chief Executive of UHBW after Eugene left and before Maria got appointed into the joint CEO role. And now I'm in the Hospital Managing Director role, which is a role whereby I lead the executive team for UHBW as part of a group with NBT. And so Maria Kane is the chief exec of both NBT and UHBW, and I report to her whilst leading the UHBW component of that group.
Amazing. Thanks, Stu. And in terms of knowledge and evidence, you've got obviously a lot on your plate. How do you stay up to date?
Yeah, so I'm in quite a fortunate position, really, I suppose. So firstly, my background is as a cardiologist. And so my sort of keeping myself up to date does tend to, or it's easier for me if I head into that sort of clinical perspective, really, and make sure that I keep as up to date as I can clinically. That's not a bad thing because that's our job, right? So we provide clinical services to our population. And so it's important that I do that. But of course, I do have other responsibilities, for example, in terms of our operational delivery, in terms of our workforce or money, or in terms of our estates. And so all of that broad spectrum of things that I need to keep up to date with. I say I'm fortunate because a lot of the time that keeping up to date becomes inherent to my job. So we get reports in which the most up-to-date situation is flagged up. And so most of the time, 90% of the time, me keeping myself contemporary is just inherent in the work that I do. If I do have a thing, though, that I want to find out about or catch up with, Tom, you'll know I have utilised the library services to help me with that. And I'm delighted to say, what a great job you did. And so I think that there is always the option, if there is a specific question, it doesn't have to be a clinical question. It can be a leadership question that I want to understand a really contemporary answer to. That is an offer which from the library service, which I have taken up previously and would do in the future.
Obviously, really great to hear. Thanks, Stu. And as you mentioned there, lots of different information coming at you all of the time. Do you feel you have to deal with information overload on a daily basis?
Well, you know, I do manage that, I think, and I manage that because I'm almost now entirely electronically based. I really don't use paper at any point. And managing things electronically gives you the ability to hold huge amounts of data in a very coordinated and systematic fashion. And I have that. And then to access things really quickly if you need them, either because you know where they are or because you have a sort of search functionality that you wouldn't have if you were trying to maintain things without that digital support. So for me, I you're right, I do have a huge amount of information I have to sort of either store or have access to, but I have found a way to do that, which is to do that in a sort of electronic fashion.
Yeah, that's the only way. Okay, so now focusing a little bit on professional networks. Are you part of any specific professional networks or communities of practice currently? Or have there been any specific groups that have been influential on your career in the past?
Yeah, do you mind if I answer that last question first? And I think I'll go back to COVID, actually. And during COVID, I wasn't in Bristol, I was in Cardiff, and there was a very strong professional network of in a chief medical officer role. And there was a very strong network of chief medical officers across Cardiff and medical directors that was essential in maintaining what was a very rapidly changing situation and maintaining myself in terms of being up to date. And within that, we had a library service and an academic service who filtered all of the information coming in and turned us around a weekly update that gave us all the most latest information, which we shared across that professional network. And it meant that the whole of our country actually could be contemporary with the same set of information. It was really useful. And then, and I don't think we could have managed without it, frankly. And then when coming to Bristol, I was delighted that the regional chief medical officer network had really developed since I was last in the Southwest before then, and was now a really strong network. And I was part of that, and that's been really helpful in keeping up to date with very contemporary information, say from NHSE or from public health services and so on. So when monkeypox came along or something like that, you have the ability to rapidly access the most contemporary information. Since I've been in this role, I have the equivalent of that, but it's in the regional or the system chief executive officer network, where those similar things are escalated, but of course on a broader scale, not just medical professional, but across the whole of the breadth of work that we do.
Great, thank you. And next question is about the value of nurturing professional relationships and sharing knowledge with a community of peers. Is this something that's important in your role?
Yeah, I just think I'd build on that last question, the last answer really, because I've found that peer group of professionals that we have a really strong interpersonal relationship with, and sharing their knowledge as it comes in, be that clinical knowledge or leadership based knowledge, you know, information related to managing industrial action, for example, was one example, and how we could make our patients as safe as possible and support our staff as much as possible during those times. So it's been really essential, absolutely.
Fantastic. And the tricky one now. So in your opinion, what role do people play in knowledge sharing within organisations? And would you consider people to be key drivers to knowledge mobilisation?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, isn't it? So, I mean, I think we've got to remember we're in the people business. So our people supply care and services to other people. That's fundamentally what we do. And so you can have all of the, you could have the best IT service in the world and the best information sharing service in the world. All of that ultimately needs to mediate its benefit through the people that work for us. And so I think for me, there's definitely something in this space about how we start to implement patient first. Now, I don't know if you're cited on patient first, but it's our sort of new operating system. It's our Microsoft 365 of how you run a hospital. And within that, there is an absolute requirement to make evidence informed, data driven decisions aligned with evidence based and best practice. And so, being able to identify best practice and evidence-based practice and have the mechanism to read your own local data to assess yourself against that best practice is absolutely the gold standard that we're looking to achieve in the future and that we're driving towards. And so for me, that patient-first way of doing things is going to hardwire that type of approach into our day-to-day business. That does require a strong business intelligence function within the organization, and we know that it's not as strong as it should be, so we're absolutely working on that, and that's a real priority to get that right. But of course it also requires your own service, Tom, in terms of identifying and supporting identification of evidence-based and best practice and making sure that we can assess ourselves against the most contemporary information.
100%. And we're meeting on the 11th of November, actually, with patient first leads from UHPW and MBT. So hopefully we'll be able to provide a bit more information on that there. OK, last couple of questions from us. Would you say connecting people to the right knowledge and evidence plays a part in improving performance?
Well, I think that's the same answer I've just given, really. And you know, it's essential that we've got 15,000 employees, and it's essential we put each of those in a position where they can access and utilize the most up-to-date knowledge and evidence to drive their own personal delivery of their of their jobs, and to do that in a way which benefits the patients in front of them, their colleagues, and the whole organisation. And the only way to do that is with the contemporary evidence base.
Fantastic. The Lord Darzi report was published this year, and it highlights quite a few areas where established evidence hasn't been widely put into practice. What do you think might be some of the barriers in an acute trust, for example, for the adoption of the latest evidence?
So we're very fortunate in that as the sort of regional university hospital, we're able to attract the absolute highest quality staff. And so, and if you asked me what is the number one strength of our organisation, it is absolutely the quality of the people that we employ. They're fantastic. So I think in that context, people's awareness of the latest evidence, they probably wrote it, or they probably, you know, did the evidence that made it now a national policy. So I think the awareness of latest evidence is really good. Obviously, we can support that via your own service, for example, but I don't think that's the main blocker. For me, the main blocker is about people feeling empowered to make a local change. And I think another inherent part of Patient First as our operating system is ensuring that people know they have the authority to improve their local circumstances and to make the change that's necessary to improve the service that we offer our patients or improve the working environment of their colleagues. And so for me, there's definitely something about that, ensuring people feel that they have the authority to make that local change. And that's something that we're doing as part of our Patient First implementation.
Fantastic.
And also, there's also something about the support we can give people to do that and what structures we have in place to help people make those changes and whether that's strong enough. So I think that's an organisational thing rather than a personal awareness thing, which is very high.
Great. Great. And then very last thing from us then is, do you have one final piece of advice for anybody working in the trust or elsewhere who are looking to engage with knowledge in particularly an acute setting?
Well, you must do it, obviously. So come to you guys is the obvious answer, because I know that you can, you know, you can provide a fantastic service of, in terms of that evidence base and informing of the contemporary knowledge base and so forth, but also to feel empowered to use that knowledge locally to improve your circumstances and to improve circumstances of your colleagues and patients, because that's absolutely key. And I would be really supportive of our staff feeling that they have that empowerment to do that.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Stu. Have a great day.
Thanks, then. Nice to see you, Tom.
Lovely. Olivia, you can stop recording.